Experts. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your family or business can benefit from current events. Most of all, thank you for joining me. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day. We have a very focused show. We only chat about items that affect the roof over your head, your bank account, and anything I feel would benefit you. But before we get into our intriguing content today, please join me in welcoming our featured guest and repeat offender.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Thank you. Jay Kaplan is in the house. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Glad to have you with us. And let me remind you, if you ever have any home or finance related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me. First, there are no operator standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team when it comes to developing a financing plan, a plan to save you money, I personally work with you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone for future reference. 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990. We are celebrating today. Yes, it is Halloween, and Jay has his mask on. Mascot on, something along those lines. Jay's dressed up, scary as always, so we have to really be careful of him. But today we're celebrating. I'm looking at some of these celebration items. Obviously, we're celebrating Halloween. Snickers, please. I'm just throwing that out there. Some of us are a little particular. Of course, if it's chocolate, I'll eat it. If it's not chocolate candy, I'll eat it. So I'm really particular.
Well, neither one of us look real particular.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doorbell Day. I don't know about that one. National Caramel Apple Day. We can go with a caramel apple, Jay.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, you keep moving that thing. You're going to screech in my ear. Well,
yeah, I know. No, I'm sorry. There we go. I don't have enough teeth left for apples. I think you still do, though, don't you?
Okay, Magic Day? I don't know. Okay, we'll go with that one. Girl Scout Founders Day. I wonder if the Girl Scout founder ever thought that there'd be guys in the Girl Scouts and girls in the Boy Scouts. Just throw that out there. Magic Day. Knock Knock Joke Day. I don't know any knock knock jokes, but hey, if you got a knock knock joke, Max, throw a knock knock joke on the stream there, and we'll see if we can share that with anybody. Any comments you might have, go ahead and throw them right there on the stream. We can actually show them now live on the broadcast. Let's check and see what's going on in the markets today. If my computer screen will wake up. Ooh, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 202 points. Wow. S&P 500 down 13. NASDAQ down 30. Oil down 89 cents per barrel. Not a whole lot of excitement in any of those numbers other than down that 200, but the way the market's been going up, you have to expect every once in a while the market's going to go down. It can't go straight up all the time. Now, Jay, I know you're going to probably fall over here, but I'm going to say this anyway.
I can bounce right. You know, I'm built to bounce right back.
Built to bounce. I got it. Okay. So the tweet of the day from the president complaining about Jay Powell and not understanding the fact of the Federal Reserve moving too early or too much last year, not enough this year. You know, I'm going to have to say that the president needs to temper down just a bit. Here's the issue. Low interest rates are not the best thing in the world. I mean, Jay, you'd probably know this number better than I would, but
they can go negative also.
Well, they're not going to ever go negative.
No, I don't think they will, but there are, you know. There's
several countries that are negative, but we have a ton of things to do before we ever get close to that. But here's the question that you might know is what percent of our population are senior citizens?
You know, that is a great question.
20% maybe?
That I should know.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but
well, you need a pretty big spot.
Exactly.
But I'm gonna guess at least if I know the biggest group is not that.
Right.
But I know that the largest growing group are the 100-year-olds, followed by the 85-year-olds.
Okay.
So I'm going to guesstimate a bit more than what you'd said
there. Okay, so Jay's taking the over. I said 20%. He's taking the over, which is that's great. So here's the issue is our seniors actually get hurt by low interest rates.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because our seniors are living off of fixed income. So 1.71 GDP or 1.71 U.S. 10-year treasury is not good. And that keeps going down. Our short-term rates keep going down. Not good for the markets. Now, in spite of the Congress, in spite of the president, our economy is doing extremely well, right? I mean, you look and see what the GDP that came in at 1.9% was the number that we saw yesterday. Unemployment's still extremely low, although that's going to grow. I'm just throwing that out there to you. Housing market doing extremely well. PCE came in strong today. We'll talk about that in the mortgage minute. Core CPI, that one's not doing as well, but the Federal Reserve doesn't care about that. So just a few thoughts right there for you to keep your eye on the ball. Now, in Taxifornia, we kind of go with different set of rules here. We like to have more taxes, more fees, see if we can hurt people as much as possible. Just ask the governor. But, hey, let's take a look at the numbers there just so I can show you what we're talking about. Gasoline, $4.05 a gallon. Hawaii, $3.66 a gallon. Now, where do you think – I don't know this exact number, but I'm just going to bet. I'm willing to take the over and under here as well. That more people, that the gas taxes in California, Taxifornia, are going to, between taxes and fees, going to grow past our income taxes. We have more and more people leaving the state of taxation. All right, so we've got a, right now the gas tax, I'm going to look that up so I have the exact number for you. Right here in Taxifornia, we are paying 61.2 cents per gallon in taxes in Taxifornia, 61.2. That does not take into account the $1.07 per gallon in fees that we pay in Taxifornia. So it's $1.68 roughly in taxes and fees. Who's paying that? Right? It's going to be the people that cannot afford the Tesla. The people that cannot afford the hybrid Jaguar, the people that cannot afford all these other fancy cars or new cars.
Are you old enough to remember 25 cents a gallon?
I remember those. They used to call it gas wars.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Gas wars way back.
Yeah, I forgot that.
Right?
Yeah.
Gas wars, yeah.
Got it. Sorry.
So, no. So that's who's this tax really targeting? Well, it's targeting the working person and the senior. I remember the day, Jay, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I remember my grandfather, well, maybe it's more than that now. My grandfather said, this will be the last car I ever buy.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And he bought it, I think it was a Taurus at the time. But the point of it is that you know, when we're young and foolish, many of us, we're buying a new car every 2-3 years. So we get the latest and the greatest and the best mileage. When we're getting started, when we're in the working class, I mean, you talk about all these politicians who are saying, well, we've got to take care of the working class. It's not a livable wage at $15 an hour. And I agree, $15 an hour probably is not a livable wage. But it's certainly not livable when you have $1.70 a gallon in taxes and fees on gasoline, and we don't have a very good system in our state. We don't have a very good system in our state to put it to take care of some of these folks. Just throw that out there to give you a little bit of information. Now, talking about not having a good system in our state, how about in our country? Unbelievable, watching what's going on in Washington, D.C. I'll give you some more of the overs and unders in Washington, D.C. So here's the issue, Washington, that's going to be a fascinating day today. Back while we've been on air, they might have even concluded the vote on the approach for impeachment, which is a total joke in and of itself. Regardless of your opinion of whether the president is doing a good job or a bad job, He will not be removed from office, regardless of what Nancy Pelosi does or doesn't do. Actually, I don't think she does anything, but that's just a different story. So here's the issue. The Senate is never going to vote to remove him from office. The House, yeah, they've got this secret. Oh, wait a second. I don't understand. How could this be a secret proceeding going on in the House when the Democrat majority holds this meeting in the basement in a secure room and then walks out to the cameras to tell them what the witness, what their interpretation of the witnesses testified on a daily basis? How does that work? So is it secret or is it not secret? Is it confidential? Is it not confidential? Is it top secret? Why are they doing it in the dark? Why are they doing it where you and I, the public, cannot get a first? Do you really need Adam Schiff, chairman of the Lack of Intelligence Committee, to tell you what people are saying? Are you able to hear it for yourself? Oh, no, we can't hear it for ourselves. They're not letting us hear it for ourselves. So the House will continue to get nothing done. We're not getting our infrastructure done. We're not getting anything on the USMCA that's being held in the House of Representatives. Veterans bills are not being done. But Nancy Pelosi, she can walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't think so. I'm not sure she can even walk anymore, but that's a different story. That's just my opinion. You are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, who is uglier without a Halloween costume, Jay or Ron? Put your vote on there as much as you can. How to determine if you can afford to buy a house, taking the fear out of the mortgage process. All that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. Stay tuned. We will be back in just a few.
Just call us at 800-306-1990 so we can show you our appreciation for your service.
You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home and Finance Show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio. Or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Mortgage Minute today being brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. When you're ready for that next mortgage, Gold Star has the programs. They've got the products. You've got the phone. Make the call. Everything you could possibly want in the mortgage world, we have it at the Siegel Lending Team. Reverse mortgages, forward mortgages, no income mortgages, bank statement loans, 1099. Maybe you don't have a bank statement that shows all of your income, but you've got that 1099. All those programs are available at your friends at the Siegel Lending Team. Just give a call to the team. They're more than happy to assist in getting this for you. What is happening in the market? Well, yesterday, we had a great day in mortgage-backed securities. Today, it's following through, doing another good day. What do I mean by good day? Well, the bonds are up. It means interest rates are down. 10-year Treasury down about 9 basis points to 170.5. What is happening? Why is that happening? Because all of that information, you could find that on the super secret website, google.com. So yesterday, as we suggested and as we projected, the Fed cut the rate by their federal funds rate. That's not mortgage rates. That's not HELOC rates. That's not the rates on a 10-year treasury. None of that. It's on the discount rate by 0.25%, third time this year. They removed the language that the Fed will act as appropriate. Love that. The Fed is not going to be appropriate anymore, Jay. They took the word appropriate out to sustain the expansion and replaced it with will assess the appropriate path of the Fed funds rate. Now, there are people out there that just do nothing but look for every single word that was changed, maybe a comma that's in a different place. The reasons for the cut were the global developments and muted inflation. Powell also said that the 3 cuts this year were insurance cuts, and he is not thinking about taking them back, which markets really seem to like. Personal income and spending was released for the month of September, showing that incomes were up 0.3%, which was in line with the estimates. Spending was up 0.2%, which was in line with the estimates. The highly anticipated personal consumption expenditure report That's the Fed's favorite measure of inflation. Showed that the headline inflation dropped from 1.4 to 1.3, lower than the estimates. The core, which strips out food and energy. Jake, can you take believe that they have a report? Even a report can't take food and energy away from us.
No, come on now.
We got to keep the food and energy, that food especially.
Well, yeah, you can't have energy without food.
That's right. The core rate strips out food and energy. The most important reading that we focus on was reported at 1.7, lower than August's reading of 1.8. The drop in inflation, along with the Fed's comments on muted inflation, doing good stuff for the bonds. And speaking of inflation, the employment cost index, which used to be old Fed Chair Greenspan's favorite measure of inflation, was up 0.7% in the third quarter. This report measures compensation for workers and was in line with expectations. Year over year, the index is up 2.8%, which was just above the 2.7% in the second quarter. Jobless claims showed that there were 218,000 individuals that filed for unemployment benefits for the first time. This was 5,000 more than the previous week, which was revised higher by 1,000. Remember that unlike some of the other reports, the lower the number here, the better. We'd like to see less people being laid off. So there's just a few of the numbers for you. Tomorrow will be the big jobs report that's coming out. Last week we had 136,000. This week the estimates are for 90,000 new jobs. They're expecting unemployment to tick up from 3.5 to 3.6. So we're watching all of those numbers. ADP report, that was in line at 125,000 jobs. That came out on Wednesday. So that's just the reasons why the market is doing what the market is doing. That is the Mortgage Minute today, again, brought to you by our friends at the Siegel Lending Team, helping you with that mortgage. Any type of mortgage that you need, the team is ready to be of assistance. Speaking of assistance, sometimes we say that Jay needs assistance. But I thought we'd throw that in there. No. Jay Kaplan is in the house. He is our reverse mortgage guru for Ron Siegel Radio. So, Jay, I heard you make a comment the other day at one of the lunch and learns that we were doing.
Great that you can lunch and learns, always.
Thank you. That you can do a reverse mortgage for somebody that's under 62 years of age now?
Well, yeah, first of all, there's a program that's been around about a year. It used to be called, all of these types of programs used to be called jumbos because they were for people.
Like us, jumbo.
No, but I like that. You see, you stopped me in my tracks because I like that. But because, you know, it was recognized that the limits on the FHA program weren't large enough, you know, for a lot of areas, you know,
especially the coast. Ours.
So,
well, they have, you know, something, Jay, I'm going to suggest that here's the issue, right? The biggest voting populations, not the Electoral College, but the biggest voting populations, California, New York, right? And a lot of those numbers don't work in those states, right?
Everything is kind of like exactly those connections you made. But, so recognizing that, some of the lenders started coming out with what was called a jumbo. And it's really, it kind of exploded. I mean, there's so many good jumbo programs. We no longer call them jumbo. They're loans that are proprietary towards specific lenders and servicing groups. And they can cover everybody, whether it's a jumbo like us, or a skinny, you know some skinny people, right? And, so they are an alternative.
How do we identify these, Jay? So we've got basically the FHA reverse mortgage, which is the one that you and I have talked about for many, many years now.
Many.
Right? So that's the program that has all the different limitations and mortgage insurances.
Home
and all
equity conversion, which is really the better way of saying it. And then there are these proprietary products that used to be called jumbo, but no longer need to call them jumbo anymore. And the reason we started this, because you can tell that I have a problem with focusing sometimes.
Okay.
Your first question was age. On one of those great programs, you can be 60.
Okay.
Okay, the other side of the answer, that's 60 to be completely a part of the loan in as far as all of its protections. Back to the HECM.
What does that mean?
That means that there's no, you know, at 60, you're not a non-borrowing spouse. You're fully a full borrowing spouse, which means you stay in the house for as long as you are alive, even if your spouse has
predeceased,
gone.
Okay.
And if, you know, and if there is a line of credit like there is on some of these programs, you have access.
So whatever. Does one of the spouses still need to be over 62?
No. On this program I'm talking about, 60.
So both one of them can be over 60. The younger, does a younger have to be? Just throwing it out there, Jake. Can your 20-year-old girlfriend be on there with you?
Actually, even on a HECM,
right?
On a HECM, you could be married to an 18-year-old.
Okay.
Now, you may not last very long, okay?
that's what she's and, hoping for, or he's
right,
hoping for.
That's right, yeah. And it goes by, when I say it goes by, it means the amount of benefit that you receive, benefit either cash or line of credit, because you don't have to take cash out of your home.
Okay.
Is based on the age of the younger person. So, I mean, legally, you have to be 18 as an adult. They can't make it anything else. So you can be married to an 18-year-old. And, of course, you'd have to be a lot older. So you're not going to get much as much, you know, you're going to get as much benefit as you are years of life married to an 18-year-old. It's not sure. going to be that much, but it is legal. So you can. But more directly, let's say that you are, 68 and you have a 59-year-old wife or 56-year-old wife. Yes, you can absolutely do it. She is considered a non-borrowing qualifying spouse, which means that as long as she lives, she will never be kicked out of the house, provided the other stipulations, taxes, insurance are made. The only difference is that when the older person, the main borrower, passes away, the spouse can no longer access the line of credit. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
But there's no problem as far as being kicked out of the house or having to make payments or anything like that.
Okay.
So a lot of times when the spouse does get to be 62, the younger one, then we go ahead and do another loan if it's possible and put, I'm doing some of those right now.
That's what I was just going to ask you. So we can. Right. There is the opportunity to review and maybe even refinance
right.
that loan. We're going to talk more with Jake Kaplan when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets, how to determine if you can afford to buy a home, taking the fear out of the mortgage process, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter @Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, shame on you. But the replay is available, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the number 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
All right. We'll do it again in a minute.
Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,900. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.75%, APR 3.85%, that payment could support a $416,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6.5%,
home before someone else does, Nest. NEST 79564. Find your dream home before someone else does. If you already found your dream home, text SLT Home Digest. SLT Home Digest to 79564. Find out what the county recorder knows about your property. Find out what the market believes about your property. It's all right there. SLT Home Digest. Get on it right away. So what are we going to talk about today in the Mortgage Minute? We are looking at how to determine if you can afford to buy a home. Well, if you have a question on that, go to that Home Digest. There's a section in there that you can actually look at that as well. The gap between the increase in personal income and residential real estate prices has been used to defend the concept that we are experiencing an affordability crisis in housing today. It is true that home prices and wages are two key elements in any affordability question. There is, however, an extremely important third component to that equation: mortgage interest rates. Mortgage interest rates have fallen by more than a full percentage point from this time last year. Today's rate, 3.75%. It was 4.86% this time last year. This has dramatically increased a purchaser's ability to afford a home. Here are three reports validating that purchasing a home is, in fact, more affordable today than it was a year ago. CoreLogic's typical mortgage payment, quote, falling mortgage rates and slower home price growth mean that many buyers this year are committing to lower mortgage payments than they would have faced for the same home last year. After rising at a double-digit annual pace in 18, the principal and interest payment on the nation's median home price, what we call the typical mortgage payment, fell year over year, unquote. National Association of Realtors Affordability Index, quote, at the national level, housing affordability is up from last month and up from a year ago. All four regions saw an increase in affordability from a year ago. Payments as a percentage of income down from a year ago, unquote. First American's Real Home Price Index, quote, in 2019, the dynamic duo of lower mortgage rates and rising incomes overcame the negative impact of rising home prices, home price appreciation on affordability. Indeed, affordability reached its highest point since January 2018, focusing on nominal house price changes alone as an indication of changing affordability or even the relationship between normal house price growth and income growth overlooks what matters more to potential buyers: surging home buying power. I'm going to see if I can find the affordability chart while we chat with Jay. But the bottom line here, though the price of homes may still be rising, the cost of purchasing a home is actually falling. If you're thinking of buying your first home or moving up to your dream home, let's connect and chat, see what makes sense for you and your family. That is the Real Time Real Estate segment, again, brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text NEST, N-E-S-T, to 79564. Find your dream home before someone else does. If you already found your dream home, as I share with you, SLT Home Digest. Text SLT Home Digest to 79564. You can get that digest, and it's going to give you all that other information that is so important to you. Yeah, you know something, before I get to chatting with Jay Kaplan, our featured guest today, I just found this chart. Now if I can something. Okay, so let's see if I can get this home affordability screen to pop up on the broadcast. Let's take a look at this, Jay. Jay, you might even remember all the way back to the very beginning of time here.
Very informative right now on the screen.
Yeah, that's thank goodness. Hopefully that'll change quicker than I thought. There we go. So home affordability.
Oh, there it is.
Let's see if I can, the numbers are pretty small on here. But let's look at this home affordability numbers going all the way back. You can see only during the times of the Great Recession, the boom and the bust, are we able to see that homes were more affordable. That's because we had all that distressed property on the market. So you really can't go there. But look at the affordability today in the green bar, all the way back to, I think this goes back to 1980, right? So we're more affordable now than all the way back into the 80s. And people are concerned about it.
And, you know, you talk about affordability and these kind of graphs and charts. People normally think, okay, I can buy that same house for less interest, which is just like saying it's a reduced price, really.
Sure.
The other way to look at it is if you not necessarily don't need to be making a smaller payment, you can be getting a larger house. Or instead of 1,500 square feet, maybe you've got 2,000 or there. Or you could buy a bigger lot. There's already a pool in it. So, yeah, it goes both ways. So what are you waiting for?
Yeah, and that's the point, Jay. I'm glad you brought that up. We're talking about the idea of your family, right? And if you were to win the lottery tomorrow, you know, what would you be doing, right? Would you move? Would you find that bigger house? Now you may not be able to afford what you might if you win a lottery, but my point is you know, if money was not an object,
right,
what would you be doing? And if the case is you'd be moving to a different place for your family, Well, maybe the answer is you should still be doing that anyway. So that's
right.
Just our thought right there is that that's the big issue. And I just was able to bring an old person's version. So that chart goes actually from 1990 to present. So it's at 40 years, 30 years?
Close.
Just about, right? And the higher the number, the more affordable. So we're at 156.9.
Almost 30, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And in 2008, we were at 138. So it's more affordable than it was 10 years ago to own your house. And you and I both know that unless you're living with your mom and dad.
Yeah.
You're paying somebody's mortgage, yours or your landlord's.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you don't have to answer that. But you're probably too young, but I remember, and that's a joke, by the way. I remember 16%. That's the first home I bought.
Okay, Jay. Now I'm really not very happy with you, Jay, because that's what I paid on my first home, too. So I'm not that young, is what you're telling me.
Nah, well, I don't know. I think your camera's not working, so, you look. But
I use smaller pictures. That way it makes me look better. But let's, and I was just sharing the information about rents, right? So let's just throw a chart of rent up on the screen for those that want to take a look at what rents are doing. Since 1988.
Uh-huh.
So here's a real good number or a good chart on what rents are doing since 1988. And it looks kind of like a ski slope, right? If you're watching us on RonSiegelRadio.tv, you can see that slope since 1988. Do you think it's going to go up or down? Right? That's the question. So let's get back to talking reverse mortgages because – that we do hear people talk about, maybe I don't want to get a reverse mortgage. You made an interesting comment, Jay. I was thank you again for letting me be a guest on your program last week.
It was great having you on.
But you had made a comment that is a paradigm change to me. I've constantly heard the concept that a lot of times it's the kids that are not interested in the reverse mortgage. And if I heard you right, you're not hearing that as much anymore.
Yeah, well, one thing. If we're going to blame the kids, we're really calling the kids bad people.
Well, no, they're not bad people.
If you're actually saying the kids don't want their parents to get a reverse mortgage, it's because they want to get the money instead of letting their parents enjoy what they earned and worked for. So that's why, it is kind of, it's not a nice thing to say about kids that they don't want their parents to live the best life they can. I don't see that very much.
Okay. Once,
rarely. What I do see is that the kids want the parents to live well. They also want, and the parents want to take care of themselves. The kids can take care of themselves, and they're there for each other when they can actually need to help each other, and that's a great thing.
Sure.
But the biggest problem is still the stigma of the reverse mortgage, and one of the biggest parts of that's the name reverse mortgage. I try not to say it, but you can't get around it when the rest of the world is really, well, not the rest of the world, but the rest of the country is really using that
term. I'm going to challenge you, Jay, because I know that
you win.
No, because I know you and I have chatted about this before, and that you're a proponent of using the proper name, which is the home equity conversion mortgage, or HECM. And my challenge to you is I prefer the word reverse mortgage, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
Our job, as I see it, is to educate people. And if we educate people on what their perception, then we're doing our job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if we're talking about a HECM and nobody knows what a HECM is, all right, correcting that misnomer.
That's right.
Or their perception.
Yeah.
If we talk about the reverse mortgage, if I say
HECM too loud, they'll say, God bless you.
Right.
If I go out and say,
I'm not a big fan of Dr. Naismith's game, I don't think my son's going to know who Dr. Naismith is. But if I go out there and say that I'm not a fan of basketball, he might say to me, something, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the same thing with the reverse mortgage.
I understand completely what you're saying. it, you know.
And you're technically the accurate one. I mean, I'm just.
No, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, except that that term reverse mortgage has a stigma.
You're right. You're right.
That comes from the loans that were out there in the 50s and the 60s.
Yep.
And even into the 70s, where the bank would let you, we'll take over. You don't have to pay anything. We'll give you some money. You stay there for the rest of your life, except that if the loan balance gets higher than the value, we're going to kick you out, or all kinds of things like that. And when you did pass away, if there was $300,000 worth of equity, your children were going to get...
There's something bouncing over here.
Yeah, I took care of it.
Okay.
That's me. I said heckum too many times. your kids are going to get 5%. So, if you know, big deal, 5%. So that's why the saying was that the bank owns the house.
Sure.
And, you know, they might as well have owned the house if all you're getting is 5%. And none of that is part of today's new... home equity conversion, which is what I call it.
So we're going to talk about it. Maybe you and I will talk a little bit about some of the myths when we come back. Jay, hey, good morning, Tina. Glad to see you there. Travis, Larry, Kathy, Arn, glad to see you. Lisa is on the line with us as well, kind of just going through and scrolling through who our Sid is with us. Paul, glad to see you with us. Mitchell, Suzanne, Lane. Max is on there. Glad to see you all with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Jay Kaplan when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. Taking the fear out of the mortgage process is next on deck. All that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the number one on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? Are you earning a safe, secure 10%+ return on your investments? Is your credit
show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. In the Your Credit Matters segment today, being brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com, you have a credit report. It is wrong. What are you doing about it? Credit Sanitizer has the solutions for you. Call Jeff Sipes and his team, the Credit Sanitizer team, and get that credit report corrected. Taking the fear out of the mortgage process. Now, Jay, you've been doing mortgages since mortgages were invented. Would that be
right? Right. Right.
Wells Fargo brought the train, the stagecoach over to Jay.
That's right.
And they took care of those.
Yeah,
and
a lot of times on, you know, purchases, people would bring a cow or a horse in for a down payment.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just going to throw this out there that I don't know if it's been this way forever, but I tell everybody that a mortgage in the purchasing of a home process, you've got the realtors that do a great job going and showing you this wonderful property. That's kind of like the baby.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a baby. The mortgage guys, we kind of deal with the colonoscopy.
Oh,
it is not exciting. No one. I don't know anybody that wakes up in the morning and says, you know something? I want to get a mortgage today. Right? That's not what anybody says, right?
No, you don't want a mortgage. You want a home. You don't want a car payment, but you want a car.
Exactly. So there's a considerable number of potential buyers shy away from the real estate market because they're uncertain about the buying process, particularly when it comes to qualifying for a mortgage. For many, the mortgage process can be scary. I should have a sound effect for scary being that we're on Halloween today.
A scream, yeah.
In order to qualify in today's market, you need a down payment. The average down payment on all loans last year was... Whoops. Wrong button. You ready for this number,
Jeff? I'm ready.
5%.
Well, yeah.
That was the average down payment last year for all loans, with many buyers putting down 3% or less. A stable income, good credit history. Once you're ready to apply... here are five easy steps Freddie Mac suggests. Number one, Find out your current credit history and credit score. Number two, start gathering all your documentation. Number three, contact a professional. We're waving at you. Number four, consult with your lender. Number five, talk to your lender about pre-approval. Bottom line, do your research, reach out to professionals, stick to your budget, and be sure you're ready to take on the financial responsibilities of being a homeowner. That is the Your Credit Matters segment, again, brought to you by creditsanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. What are you doing about it? Credit Sanitizer's got these solutions. Chatting this morning, Jay Kaplan is in the house. He is our reverse mortgage guru.
Thank you.
So, Jay, give us a couple of some of the more common myths that you hear.
Well, the first one, beyond, I mean, way up there, number one. There's a long distance between number one and number two.
Okay.
Number one is that the bank owns your property or takes your property. That's absolutely not true. A reverse mortgage, and we'll use your word for it, reverse mortgage or the heck, home equity conversion, it's a loan. That's all it is. It's a loan. And just like any other loan, except it's regulated a lot harder. It's safer. As far as I'm concerned, it's an FHA loan. It's the safest loan you can possibly, and I'm sure some people will, other lenders will object to me saying it's safer, but let me say that it is the safest loan you can possibly get.
So I'm going to throw this out there, Jay, because a lot of people will, you know, they have that myth. Almost every property has a loan on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So,
or should, as you would say in your finance part.
Exactly. Now, So you really want the bank, and in most instances, I mean, the bank doesn't own the property. It's a lien on the
right,
property.
Right, right. Exactly.
Right, I still own my property.
But there are a few other differences. For instance, it's not going to be upside down. You're never going to be upside down like
sure.
you will with a regular loan.
Well, I didn't say you will, but you could be.
Yeah, well.
I'm not saying, we don't say you will be, but you could be.
Because, you know, on the payoff, down the road, it's not going to be your children are not going to have to pay off the loan amount. They're going to have to pay if the loan amount is higher than the value of the home, they pay off 95% of the value of the home. So if in just for round numbers, if you live to 120 and you know you've got $800,000 that you owe on the home, and now it's worth, because we have another crash, let's say it's worth $500,000. Your children don't pay the $800,000.
And we should talk when you throw the idea about the commentary about a crash. We did have a real estate crash in 1929.
We did.
And we had one, the next one, crash, so to speak,
was
2008.
Yeah.
Right, so it's about 80 years difference or 90 years difference.
Yeah, so it's not like, I might make it to the next one. It'll be, what year would that be? That would be 2021
something, right?
Yeah. We're not going to, that's just, we're not talking about that right now, but that ain't going to happen.
Right, exactly.
But if such a thing, but you're still looking at what the virtue is. The virtue is based on that concept. If, in fact, things did go down, you're not punished for it. So you have a hedge against it, period. So your children are never, and your estate are never responsible for anything. And that's just not like other loans.
Sure. And I just threw up a chart that shows the home price changes during the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the last five recessions, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. And, you know, out of the last five recessions going back to 1980,
mm-hmm.
the only one that had any significant change in real estate was this last one.
Yeah, but yeah. And
right.
Look at that other one. That other one is like nothing.
Right, yeah.
And
that's why I say the only one.
Look
only
how
one.
Fast it came back and way overwhelmed itself.
Right, exactly. So we're not really worried about that. What would you say is the second biggest myth?
The second biggest myth is you know, there's so many other little myths that you have to be you have to own your home outright.
Okay,
and you do not. You have to have a sizable amount of equity. Because they want to make sure anybody that gets this loan is well protected. So that's definitely in there.
Well, and so there's another big issue there that I'll throw out, especially when you're dealing with the FHA reverse mm-hmm. mortgage, is unfortunately, in our society, there are a lot of scammers out there that prey on seniors. The reverse mortgage, with all of its good and bad, does a wonderful job in protecting seniors.
Absolutely.
Right? There's a lot of things going on that you have, a lot of hoops that you have to go through to get that mortgage. Right. So, I mean, between the counseling, the mandatory third-party counseling.
But the hoops are not, you know, they don't take a lot of time and effort.
Right.
I mean, it's not like getting a, pardon the expression, forward loan.
Sure.
Like, you know.
Yeah. So it's not as, right. There's not nearly
nearly as rigorous. I mean, there's just not that much you have.
Right. I put it as the colonoscopy. The reverse mortgage isn't.
No,
it's a tremendous, significantly easier.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about the myths of the whole process, give me a call at 800-306-1990. Happy to put you in touch with my friend Jay Kaplan. He is the reverse mortgage guru for Ron Siegel Radio. And as always, I ask you, set that first radio preset button to come back here and join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to John, who's engineering us today. And, of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions or to meet any of our guests, call me anytime, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us again. And remember my motto, make a lot of money so you can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Have a great day. We will talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.